Welcome to the Roma Press Podcast with Jun Solano and Andy Mattioli.
All right, we are back. Another Roma Press Podcast. We hope you are doing all well. We are in the throes of the transfer madness, as is per usual every single summer in the days leading up to the 30th of June. Before we get into all of the madness that has been happening in recent days, a thank you to our newest patron over at Patreon, Rick Ackerman. Rick, thank you for your support, and of course to all of our other wonderful patrons, patreon.com/RomaPress to join, get early access, other things as well. And you can join the chat where it is nothing but a transfer market debate. It almost is if Football Manager, if you were able to have a live chat with all the other players of Football Manager, it is a nightmare when it comes to the transfer market. But it's also a nightmare too when the matches are going on, Andy. So join the madness. We are already gluttons for punishment by choosing to follow this club, this team. So you might as well go all the way in. So again, patreon.com/RomaPress. All right. Well, let's start out with the latest for the transfer stuff. It's that time of year, and I joke with him, but when I start seeing the words "here we go" every 2 seconds on my timeline by Fabrizio Romano, who I like, by the way, we follow each other. He's a very nice guy, but it can be a little tiresome seeing that catchphrase, which is so easy, by the way, and he has gotten like a copyright on it, it seems now. I mean, talk about great branding. Here we go.
Yeah. I think he's got like merch, and he's got the little copyright sign on basically anything that has those words. So it's quite amazing.
Good for him. I have to say, though, as far as things go for Roma, this is always one of the most fun weeks of the summer, because the financial year for 2024-2025 ends. All the clubs in Europe, they close their books on the 30th of June, and then on the 1st of July, the new season, as far as an accounting standpoint goes, begins. So as we know, whether it's your first or second season watching Roma, or your 20th, this is always when it gets very fun, because Roma are seemingly running against the clock as per usual. I mean, we can go down the list of all of the fun storylines that happened around this time. My personal favorite is the era of Barisoni, who goes on Roma Radio and reads out loud a message on WhatsApp that he received from Miralem Pjanic, and he requests to the club to leave, and Juve are going to... They state that they are going to pay his buyout clause, and thereby bringing him to Torino. That was, again, one of my more favorite instances, but I mean, you could find so many of them. So where we stand now, Andy, we have Leandro Paredes. He is on his way out. He's going back to Boca. Again, not a surprise. We spoke about this last week. Roma, they're going to get 3.5 million euros. This is one of those deals that bittersweet, I guess. You got the guy for free. Everybody knows how I felt about him before he came back to Roma. He was not somebody who could be relied upon. He had a very, very inconsistent start of the season in, we should say in both campaigns, yeah? I mean, remember when he first arrived under Jose Mourinho?
That's what they have. Up and down. Jose Mourinho, yes. And then Ivan Juric, where he's basically not playing at all until Claudio Ranieri arrives in November. So both starts were quite horrendous for him, and yet both second halves of the season, he was arguably a top three player for Roma.
He's rebounded great in both seasons. Obviously, you have to attribute some sort of tactical changeup to that. I mean, Andy, he and Kone, I thought they had a great little partnership going on in the middle of the pitch. They really found an understanding and a harmony between each other. And I think from the footballing and a tactical point of view, their characteristics, they suited one another incredibly well. Now, the way Paredes is going to play under Ranieri, De Rossi, nowhere close to that of Gasperini. If you need somebody being that stalwart, that that engine, yeah, in the middle of the pitch, that ain't him. Never is going to be him. That has never been his game. So this makes sense for all parties, right?
It was in the air. It was in the air. This is a guy that has been doing that, but nothing but talking about returning to Argentina. I mean, this was in his plans for God knows how long. You know, it was bound to happen. Yes. It's going to happen. And you know, I mean, listen, he came in and, you know, we paid, I think, with like the bonuses and everything for him from PSG, 2.5 million. We got a really good midfielder for cheap in a moment of emergency. Because remember, he arrives because of Nemanja Matic getting up and leaving the club all of a sudden out of the blue. So Leandro Paredes was an emergency.
Oh, I thought you were going to mention who he arrives with.
Well, yes.
We remember those photos.
Renato Sanchez. I know. And Renato Sanchez, you've missed it, John, because you weren't here, but Renato Sanchez cost Benfica a cup, a trophy.
Of course.
So yes, he came on. He made a mistake, and they lost the final for the National Cup. So that was a great Renato Sanchez moment. But Paredes, for what you gave for him, he gave you what you needed. You know, except he's the kind of guy that if the team is doing bad, very rarely will he elevate the team, you know. So naturally, when the team was going bad with Jose Mourinho in his third season, or when Ivan Juric was on the bench and he could not see the pitch. And when he was on the pitch, it was like seeing a ghost in those final 5 to 10 minutes cameos that he played. But when the team seemed to be, you know, at its best, that's when Paredes was also able to thrive. And I will always remember that game against Bayer Leverkusen, where he's just all over the pitch. And, you know, you're a Cavs fan, you will remember this. I hate this memory, but you'll remember it. But I compare that performance to the performance of Draymond Green in that game 7 that you guys won. But Draymond Green showed up for that one performance. He came back from suspension. He put in, I believe, a triple-double while everybody else on the Golden State Warriors did not. That was Leandro Paredes against Bayer Leverkusen, where Roma were completely being overwhelmed by Bayer Leverkusen. Leandro Paredes in that game was really a shining light. And everybody was happy when news broke out that he was going to continue at Roma, that he was happy to continue for one more year. But let's face it, everybody knew it. This guy is fond of Boca Juniors. This guy had always in his plans the return to Argentina. If I hope that this doesn't affect anything in the locker room, you know, because you know how certain players are. Like Leandro Paredes is also a great locker room guy, you know. You have Matias Soulé, who's constantly praising him. You've got Paulo Dybala, who's he's like a brother to him. So that's one thing to keep in mind. But otherwise, this was always going to happen. You're getting 3.5 million. You're getting rid of a salary that was taking up space for a player that is incompatible with the coach's new philosophy. And it's football. It's how it works. So thank you, Leandro, for the memories, I guess.
Yes, that's absolutely correct. This is not the guy who is going to be the one that carries you. He obviously needs the pieces around him to be thriving. I have an incredibly mixed feeling or relationship that I rarely have with players. I'm very hot or cold on players, but with this guy, very rarely have I changed opinion, I guess, as strongly, because I remember so vividly his time at Roma in the first instance. And then you see him, he goes to Russia, then he goes to PSG, he plays on loan at Juve, and the guy just can't really get anything to come off for him. Inconsistent. But he comes here, and let's also remember, Andy, I mean, PSG they couldn't get rid of him fast enough, and they were begging clubs to take him.
Oh yeah, and this was even after his excellent World Cup campaign, you know.
World Cup.
So
yes.
That's the Paredes that thrives. The Paredes that thrives. The Paredes that we saw in the World Cup with Argentina. He's always one of the best with Argentina because the system is good and he works well in that system. And if the coach, just like Mourinho, couldn't get a read on him, the team was frustrated, Paredes was just not breaking through. If the coach is there to work with him, to work for him, like in the case of Daniele De Rossi, who had a complete understanding of him, who knew him as a teammate and knew exactly what he needs in order to be successful, just like Claudio Ranieri, who then sort of integrated him back into the lineup and made him one of the focal points of the team. That's when Paredes comes alive, and so best of luck to him. But we are in need of a midfielder who has different characteristics and also a midfielder with the ability to score other than penalties. Paredes is a brilliant penalty taker, but we need a guy who pushes up the pitch, who sees the opponent's net, and who's not afraid to shoot from outside the box, and who is able to cut through the lines, and who has this propensity to move forward rather than stay in the middle of the pitch while driving the action forward.
Yep, that is, I guess that's sort of the easiest way to sum him up. I mean, as far as, again, Gasperini goes, it's just not compatible. But let's go a little bit into the financial aspect of this, the accounting aspect of this. And I always forewarn people, this is one of those subjects where you are bored out of your mind. You couldn't care less of it. I mean, I'm terrible at maths, so this is one of those subjects that it drives me crazy, but should be used to it by now. I mean, every single person, Andy, if you follow AS Roma, you should be able to do taxes on your own because of the financial hula hoops that this freaking club has to go through every single summer. So all of us should be a wizard accountants by this time.
You don't know how many messages I'm getting of people being like, so how much money? How much money do we still need? What is plus Valencia? What is capital gain? How do we get that number? And then I'm like, listen, even the media that report those numbers, there's one that says we need to generate still 10 million euros. There is another one that says 15. There's another one that says 20. Another one, 25. Nobody seems to agree. Every year it's the same. Last year was the same. Last year nobody knew. Last year everybody made these weird predictions. The only year I think everybody more or less had a sense of it was when Thiago Pinto had that crazy summer where he offloaded, like, I don't know, like, I mean, half of the squad he just sent out.
Right.
And we still had to pay a fine. We still had to pay like 5-6 million in a fine because we did not accomplish what financial fair play wanted us to.
Yeah, it is. It is one of those things that it seems easy, and you still have people think that the Mavs is, you know, Roma paid $5 million for a guy 5 years ago and they sell him for four. Oh no, we lost $1 million. That's not how it works. I will put something out on the website to make it easier that people can read. But very, very simply, if to make it simple, let's say Roma pay 5 million euro for a player and he signs a 5 years contract. What that means is he amortizes the transfer fee of 5 million, amortizes 1 million euros for each year of his contract. That's the easiest way to understand the books. Now, obviously, you also have wages. You also have bonuses in figuring those things out. But when it comes to the financial fair play aspect, Andy, that is what we are concerned with. We are concerned with the plusvalenza, the capital gain. And Roma, they're not telling anybody a figure. But if you ask to them this summer, and I still have the message, it was from 2 days ago, you ask them, is it between 10 and 20 euros? They say around that. So that's Roma's stance. You heard it from them. Very, very ambiguous, that sort of response. But that's where things stand now, Andy. We have to, Roma, they have to generate between 10 and 20 million euros of plus Valenza. And it's coming down to the wire, as it does every single summer, seemingly. But the fact of the matter is, this whole financial fair play thing, I've said it from the beginning, and I will continue to say it. UEFA wants to give this illusion of objectivity, that there is a standard that is set out across all of football, of clubs that need to follow this sort of model of within the regulations of financial fair play to make things fair for everybody. And you obviously can't help but scoff at that, because again, look at who just won the Champions League this year, PSG. There's so many other examples that you can point to where it's just sort of rigging the game, so to speak. I hate the financial fair play stuff. I understand what it's trying to do.
But maybe in theory and a long time ago, but I mean, we all realize that it's not really taking effect, The game is wide open for everybody. Like, we can get we've seen what other clubs can do and what other clubs can't do. So it's almost like we're all pretending that it works when it clearly does not.
Well, we are pretending, and I suppose the other part of this that I think goes under discussed is football right now is you have two cups. You have the haves and you have the have nots. Okay. We have the same clubs making the Champions League final, Europa League final, making the final four, quarterfinal, semi. I mean, you have, for the most part, the same clubs year after year. You're not going to see anymore a 2006 Porto led by Jose Mourinho emerging from the shadows and winning the Champions League. The financial disparity between so many of the clubs. Look at the Premier League alone. The financial disparities that exist right now. I just don't think this is something that you can police if you are UEFA, but they're going to try and do it, just like they're going to do anything they can to try and tamper down the emergence of a Super League, which, at some point that's going to come to a head again, but we can save that for another episode. But as far as the financial fair play stuff goes, yes, Roma between 10 and 20 million euros. You mentioned Paredes, 3.5. This sort of leads into the
Nicola
next
Zaleski,
part of
Indica. Nicola Zaleski, 6.5. Zaleski. And yes, we are talking about Evan Dika, who is the number, like, it's either Angelino or Ndika. Like, this is the storyline that we're hearing now. That, we can add to that Shomurodov, who's also rumored to be on the way out. There's several teams interested. But really, when it comes to big-time players for Roma right now, it's between Angelino and Ndika, right? And it's almost like Roma are putting the name of Ndika out there. And the most recent news was real. I mean, it was. I released a Patreon exclusive episode just on that, because the news that broke yesterday by Gianluca Di Marzio were just so outrageous. Of Roma discussing with Marseille a potential swap involving Evan Dika and Ismaël Koné, a guy who Marseille signed a year ago from Watford, did not play under Roberto De Zerbi, so they sent him on loan to Rennes, where Frederic Massara was at the time. He did okay. At Rennes, played a bunch of games, came back to Marseille. He's a non-factor at Marseille. And somehow Roma are supposedly talking about swapping him with Evan Dika, who's had the most minutes played by any Serie A player this season. So what are we talking about? Why is that news? Why is that name of Ndika just floating out there after being linked with the likes of Real Madrid, Arsenal? I mean, with all due respect to Marseille, no. And yet, so on one hand, we keep hearing that the articles say, well, Roma are reluctant, Roma don't want it, Roma consider Evan Dika an important piece. But then his name is just being thrown around like nothing. And if we're talking about evaluation of Indica's price tag, we're probably talking upwards of 40, 45 million. But so why are we comparing him in the same sentence to someone like Ismael Kone, who I don't know how much he went for to Marseille, I guess maybe 20 million. So what could they possibly think that he's worth now after not playing this season, 15? I don't know. But it's quite this situation that stems from the fact that Angelino did not go to Al Hilal when he was supposed to go.
Correct.
It's a freaky situation that I don't know how Roma are handling right now, because I don't think that anyone in the media right now knows.
No, I mean, listen, this thing about the swap, that seems like one of those stories planted by an agent. That seems so outrageous. Like, I could see Kone, his agent, planting that sort of story because his client just had a shit sort of season. Because frankly, if we're just talking common sense, that's when it comes to the transfer stuff, there's a lot of crap. I remind people every single summer, you have agendas, you have different perspectives being leaked by clubs, by agents, and you have to remember that. When you look at Roma, though, their perspective and this issue of the financial fair play and the plusvalenza, I mean, Andy, think about it. How many people at Roma right now could generate an important plusvalenza? It's Indica, Angelino, Svilar, maybe? But that would be stupid go down that path again.
Yeah, no, let's not. That's it.
We're not looking at
it. No, that's it. Like, there was an early mentions of Kone. It's become quite apparent that Roma will not actively shop Kone unless, like, some incredible offer arrives, which obviously a club like Roma can never say, oh, a player is untouchable. If a 80 million euro offer arrives, Roma will definitely consider it. You know, just like Milan sold Reinders for 60, 65 million to Manchester City. Okay. They'll consider that. They'll accept it. But with Roma, the names, first it was VR, then Ndika, then Kone. Now it's just Ndika out of these two, and then Angelino. Those are the only two players that you can really, right now, get anything major out of.
Yes.
So, I mean, it's not like Roma have much freedom, and this is they have to generate what they have to generate by 30th of June. How much can they get for Shomurodov? You know, there is talk of Roma asking 8 million for Shomurodov. How much can they get for Angelino after he you know, the Saudi clubs approached him? They were willing to offer 25 million, but that's the Saudi clubs. If they are not paying that, then nobody else is coming close to that figure. So the people who thought at the beginning that 25 million euros for Angelino is not enough, well, guess what? It is. It is more than enough right now. Look at where Roma are and what situation they are. 25 million for Angelino would be a blessing from the sky.
Yeah, there's other names being linked out as potential exits, like Saud. Understandable. I mean, another name that you would be able to get a plusvalenza for, Hermoso, but with his situation, he's obviously not going to, at least I don't think, he's going to reconsider playing at Roma under Gasperini. Who else, though, in your mind, should be on the way out? We've mentioned Angelino,
right?
And if we're talking about what we want versus the realistic, which includes the financial ramifications and restrictions and obligations that Roma have, those are obviously two different things. I mean, Angelino, breath of fresh air. I mean, the thought of losing that guy on the left terrifies me. But Roma have an obligation. I mean, you look at Zalewski, who could not buy an assist. When I actually typed out on the official... when he wrote his goodbye on Instagram, when I wrote his final statistics at Roma, I started to get a physical reaction. I started to shake
the famous shakes.
Nine assists.
In how many appearances? 130?
123.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
So
that's bad. Like that's like really so bad. That's so bad for it, mind horrible. You. It's this horrible. John. This is for a player who used to be an attacking midfielder with the Primavera. This is a guy who had like everything that was going for him was the ability to go forward to get his teammates involved. Like that's crazy. 9 assists in 4 years.
Well, it's all the more depressing, though, when you realize that Angelino has 7 assists in quite literally half the number of appearances. So, again, the more I talk about it now, I'm going to get a physical reaction. But if we want to throw Angelino in there for who goes, who else in your mind is a realistic exit?
You want to hear this? My hot take is Cristante. I think in the end, it could be Cristante. I mean, if you're going to generate some money, you could sell Cristante to Como. The question is, we had been hearing so much about Como's interest in Cristante near the end of the season. When Gasperini arrived, everything died down. I think a lot of the media just sort of assumed that with Gasperini coming back, Cristante is going to be like an important player for him.
He's going to play forward again and get nine goals.
Are you sure? I mean, it's been 8 years, so I don't know if he has it in him to do that anymore. I don't think that this is a guy who has played as a central defender more in recent years than as an attacking midfielder, which is insane. But that's the case. I think potentially, Cristante could be on his way out. I could see that. I could see Roma letting him go for 8 million, 10 million, something like that. I would think that Marash Kumbula will want to play more. Obviously, a recent report by Di Marzio, which I guess came from Kumbula's agent or whatever, said that, he wants to play his chances in preseason. Like he wants to try his luck to stay at Roma. And if not, he does not want to leave and go to a lesser club. He wants to more or less keep the level. He doesn't want to fight relegation like he did last year with Espanyol. He wants to stay, I guess, in Serie A, play his chances there. But first, he wants to get a chance from Gasperini. Roma are obviously looking for an additional defender. And Kumbula is coming off a very good year for Espanyol, mind you.
Very good season.
That was a surprise because remember the loan spell at Sassuolo. I mean, he single-handedly relegated them.
Sent them down.
But I don't know. I mean, listen. Maybe there is a surprise in there. Maybe Marash Kumbula does have the goods right now and isn't a good mental space to give Gasperini what he wants. So who knows there? Listen, I thought this was going to be the summer where Al Shaarawy was going to leave, but guess what? He renewed for one more season. He's going...
One more season. You know,
and maybe, hey, who knows? Maybe the magic potion by Gasperini will work its miracles. Al Shaarawy had been linked to Atalanta a couple of times in recent years. So Atalanta had thought of Al Shaarawy. Maybe this is the time where Gasperini winds back the clock to 2018, 2019, where Al Shaarawy was our leading goal scorer, believe it or not. maybe he can turn back the clock.
Well, we can debate that another episode. As far as Cristante goes, I'm completely... If somebody came with 8 million for him... Yeah. You take that every day of the week, and he is signed until 2027.
Yes.
I am on a personal vendetta. There are certain agents that I don't like Roma having to deal with. One of them is his, who is a malignant pain.
But
in
you're not getting rid of Rizzo if you're being is Rizzo what as Gianluca Mancini? No, Gianluca Mancini is with Rizzo.
Yes, so, he also has. I mean,
it's not like if you get rid of Cristante, you
Baldanzi as well.
Yeah, you're not. Oh, there you go. There's another player, Baldanzi. What do you do with Baldanzi? Is he a player who will secure a place in the rotation, but a significant place, not just the final 5-10 minutes like he was getting under Claudio Ranieri, but like an actual place in the rotation? Will this be the year where he starts scoring goals? Because that's what he was known for as a Primavera player, as a young Empoli star. he was the guy who was had this incredible way of moving around the pitch that looked like Paulo Dybala, and it resulted in him scoring goals, which has not been the case with Roma. It's something that he said he wants to improve on. Do Roma have the patience? Do Roma reject offers if, say, Torino or Parma or, I don't know, Fiorentina come knocking on their door offering, a sum. I don't know how much you could get for Baldanzi right now, but this he certainly hasn't impressed with Roma and his spell. So we could hypothesize a departure.
Yeah, my issue with him is... how much can we blame the player versus this situation? Because he's one of those guys, Andy, where it seemed like he was showing something and then something happened, whether it had to be with the manager or something with the tactics, and he's just not able to find continuity. I guess where I come out on this is the way Sule came on late in the season, the final 3 to 5 months, where he's being decisive, he's scoring goals, he's making a difference. We have not seen that from Baldanzi. And I get to the point with him where it's pointless to keep him and bring him on for these 15 to 20 minute cameos. He needs consistent playing time. I wouldn't be opposed to a loan spell with him. I think he needs it. But I also think he can be decisive. So that's the tricky part in this. I think he is going to stay, but we have to wait and see. The other one, as far as who stays or who goes, what about Pellegrini?
Well, but he's injured. He's injured until...
he's injured, I understand.
He's injured
that,
until the start of next season. Who's going to give you money for Pellegrini right now after the kind of season he's had? I can't, you know, like if I could envision someone giving money for him in January when he was reportedly so close to Napoli, sure, but this time around, after that injury, I don't know, man. It seems like this is going to be a year where he's just sort of there, you know? And then maybe they... do they lose him for free next year? I don't know, but I don't see...
sure, why not? I mean, with the wages... listen.
I know. What is it? 4.5, something like that?
Yes, yeah. 4.5
right.
Net.
Jesus
That's net.
Christ.
I mean, the heist he should have been in Ocean's 11 for the heist that he pulled off with this contract.
Pochetta.
At Roma.
Pochetta?
Right. Pochetta. Zoolander. Right. Yeah, I mean, he's there right next to Florenzi as far as the grand heist at Roma. You have to let that man walk. There's another player that that somebody on social media asked us to discuss because you had an article about him the other day. Salamakers. I like Angelino. The idea, Andy, of him not being there next season makes me physically ill.
It's going to be all right, John. It's going to be all right.
No, man. No, not only does he wear my favorite number, do you remember the carousel? Because that's what it was.
It was
a carousel of Karsdorp, Zeki Selik.
I know.
Who are some of the our friend from Leeds United? Come on, I always forget his name.
Erasmus Christensen.
Yeah, Christensen.
It's going to be okay, John. It's going to be okay. Gasperini will find you your man. He's gonna. I mean, what are you gonna do with Salamakers? Are you gonna go and harass Massimiliano Allegri? He clearly wants to give Salamakers a shot. And mind you, Salamakers is not really pushing to stay at Roma. This is a guy who's gotten in the habit of globetrotting after spending the last few seasons on loan. He's going to be happy just to stay at Milan if Massimiliano Allegri, and I'm pretty sure that Max will keep him next season. Salamakers is not the kind of player who will fight tooth and nail to stay somewhere. If he did, he would have stayed at Bologna because Bologna was the perfect context for him. He thrived at Bologna. Made absolutely no attempt to prolong his stay there. So why the hell would he have had to try and extend his stay at Roma? You know, it's a bizarre situation. But Filippo Biafora made it very, very clear. People were asking him what is holding up Roma from buying Salamakers, and he was like, well, they don't even have an agreement with the player, so. you know, it's not like Roma had locked the yes from Sam Akers. They had secured it. They had, okay, the player is fully on board. We're going to make this happen. No, no. The player was not 100% there. So it's a tricky situation. But I do think that, listen, with Gasperini, it's like that. He put so much attention on the wings, on both wings, that probably the best thing to do is do a complete factory reset of those wings, which seems like that's what Roma are trying to do. You know, Angelino, Sam Akers, Saud, potentially Zirky Selig, everybody, they want everyone there gone in order to then bring in people who are going to be exactly the kind of people that Gasperini wants, or at least that have the things that he identifies as something he can work on. Because, I mean, if the wings don't work in Gasperini's system, then you'll lose half of your power, horsepower. So it's like Roma during the years of Kolarov, when Kolarov was injured. You know what I mean? Like, when Roma lost Kolarov in those days, and they almost never lost him because he was unbelievably fit for the first half, season and a half. The whole team perished because of that, you know? So I think that's, with Gasperini, you're very much wing back dependent, and you got to have guys that completely fulfill the man's needs.
There's a joke sitting out there, but I'm going to leave it alone. The only thing that makes me feel better, or I should say at least reassured about not Roma not purchasing Salamakers, not making his loan permanent. You've mentioned this before. We bring it up a lot. We juxtapose this point right alongside all of the doping jokes for Atalanta. But it is worth mentioning. Andy, some of the production he's gotten from those crucial wingbacks, guys that I won't say his game is entirely reliant upon those wingbacks, but if you were to pick one facet, one department of the tactical system that is crucial to the way the teams of Gasperini functions, it is those wingbacks. And if you just look at some of the garbage that he has been able to get something out of, on in both roles, left and the right, it's amazing. I mean, it is truly amazing. I mean, you mentioned Zappacosta. I mean,
that is the most recent example. You know, Zappacosta being a player who was completely dead and buried, and he sent him to the national team. So it's unbelievable. You know, you took a player like Raul Belanova, who, okay, you know, Torino were really, really overestimating his price tag, but. But I mean, he gave Belanova the chance to play, and Belanova has nine assists. He's got the nine assists that Zaleski got in 4 years. Belanova got with Gasperini this season. You know, I mean, so many players. Kolasinac, a guy whose reputation was dead in the water after his spell at Arsenal. This guy, I mean, he takes him, boom, Kolasinac, one of the best, you know, wins the Europa League. What the hell?
Yeah, it's amazing. It is.
John, makes you think what he could have done with Rick Karsdorp. Remember those days where Rick was tempted by Bologna and Atalanta and Genoa? Yeah.
There's Ruggeri, too. He's about to go to Atletico Madrid. I mean, the amount of usefulness that this guy has been able to squeeze out of some of these names. I mean, Zappacosta is running on his seventh pair of knees. I mean, wasn't it at Roma where he tore his ACL? Just a couple of appearances.
No, it was in pre-training for the Derby. Remember the Derby, their warm-up,
Yes.
That's the season right there for him. It's a wrap. After four match days, it was a wrap.
Incredible. Incredible. But I mean, I'm going down some of the names that that Gasperini has had the boar as well. I mean, you look at some of these names and you think, oh, like this is not the cream of the crop, so to speak. These are not guys that jump off of the screen. These are not guys who, prior or even after playing under Gasperini, they didn't do much before and they're not doing much after. So clearly, the guy is able to get something from those two positions. I just looked, though, from this past season, if we want to do a sort of like a before and an after, what that point would be, obviously it is saying goodbye to Juric, but I would also say it is the injury to Salamakers. There's a before and after. The two different aromas when it comes to this past season. I mean, the difference that he made the second he came back, too, and you could just tell how much that or the esteem that Roma had in him. I mean, they threw him right out on there. Broken leg, you're fine. Go. I mean, immediately he is playing and making a difference. Seeing that and knowing how much he contributed is a bit bittersweet. So I do hope they make an approach for him. We will see. Who else? Is there another name that, in your opinion, there's going to be some debate of as to who stays?
No, I think it's pretty clear. You know, Roma have like made it absolutely clear that the priority is to keep Svr, to keep Kone, to keep Sule. That's the trifecta right there. And then everybody else is fluid. I mean, there is not much of a role for everyone else. Like, everyone else is on the table, you know? And that's okay. Like, it makes sense. You know, when your team gives you so many ups and downs, it makes sense that you start to sort of question who is this, the permanent piece. And the players that I just listed are the ones that were the most consistent this season, except for obviously Matias Sule, who basically didn't play the first half. And then was outstanding in the second half. But Kone, Svr, those are two guarantees. Ndika, a guarantee. But obviously we know if there is a sacrificial lamb, you have to aim to sell a player who can really generate capital gain. That guy would be Evan Ndika, joined as a free agent, could potentially leave for upwards of 40 million.
Yeah. All right, let's leave it there. We will return in a few days. There will be updates in the market as we approach and get closer to the 30th of June. So we will talk to you then. Until next time, a presto.
Ciao.